Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Fun, entertaining, knowledgeable.
All right.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
Live and local, it's time for the Fan Morning Show with Bart Winkler.
12:50 a.m. The Fan. Good morning, everybody. Kind of a weird, wacky Thursday. Was listening to some of the stuff that Jordan Love had to say. And then Collar War broke out a little bit. We didn't even get to the really good Jordan Love sound bites. You'd be ready to take
my
over.
My mindset this whole offseason has been to get ready and get myself ready. And that's been my mindset since I got here. And, you know, whether Aaron was here or not here, that's going to be my mindset regardless, because I have to get myself ready to play and be able to, you know, go out there and take charge of the team and be able to perform at a high level and do my best so everybody else can do their job as well and just be able to perform at a high level, like I said. So, you know, my goal is just to take it day by day, get better, find areas I need to improve, and yeah.
That's Jordan Love talking to the media yesterday. He had a good day of practice, guys. He had a good day of practice. I'm more impressed with, like, and interested in, like, what does he have to say? What's going through his head? How's he dealing with all this? Does he think he's going to be the starter? Where has he talked to Rodgers? Apparently, they talked a couple weeks ago, and I don't know. When you say I talked to, did you like communicate via your voice? Is it just text now? When you say like, oh, I talked to somebody the other day. Well, yeah, I just text with them for like 8 minutes.
Yeah, it's probably something like, how was Hawaii? Good, and that's it.
Or good luck in camp, dude.
Yeah
thanks,
like
Aaron. Yeah, I mean. You can be pretty vague when you're saying, I talked to somebody. 414-799-1250. We are going to check in with a lot of people we like coming up before the end of the show. Jeff Orlowski. We're going to talk to Rami Makhlouf at 9. We're going to talk to Peter Bukowski coming up at 9:30. He with the Locked On Packers podcast. And then I will return the favor on Locked On Packers a little bit later today. Peter and I were... We used to feud, and now we boys. So, you know, it can happen. Maybe one day Rob and I will be boys. Demoski. Probably not, but maybe someday. The Brewers lose last night 7-3. They didn't just lose the game. They also lost Travis Shaw. And I don't know how long he's going to be hurt. He dove for a ball in the second inning. Just playing third base, diving for a ball. And he dislocated his shoulder. Reds doctors popped it in. Craig Counsell afterwards on what happened, what's going to happen, and what to expect from here on out.
Craig, we can only guess how tough it is for you and the players. I mean, to, you know, to see something like that with Travis, it kind of makes the game pale in comparison, I would imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it was just unfortunate. He dove for a ball and, he popped the shoulder out. He was in quite a bit of pain. The doctor, Kremchek kind of, got it back in. And we'll get some tests, tomorrow morning to see what's going on.
Craig, what's your understanding of the possible outcomes? It seems like with this one, it can be very wide from a couple of days like Cody Bellinger to a really long time.
Yeah, but it's not going to be a couple of days. I mean, we should wait to let them do the imaging and the x-ray, and then we'll have a good answer for you.
Hey, Craig, you had mentioned it, I think, yesterday, just about, you know, Travis's hits for you this season. A lot of them have mattered, you know, big-time situations, driving in runs. He also is a you know, left-handed batter at that position as well. So it's like it has to be a pretty big loss, no matter the timetable, really.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's another player is going to get an opportunity to step up, but you know, in the long term, it probably means you know, Luis Urias is going to play more third base when Colton comes back, and Luis is doing a really nice job, and he's swinging the bat really well. So you know, we another player is going to have to step up, and another player is going to get an opportunity, and that's when you have injuries. That's how it works, and how you have to fill in around them, and that's going to be our job.
Brewers play in 3.5 hours. Obviously, they will not have Travis Shaw. Urias has been playing second with Wong out, and Wong. The sooner you can get back, the better. Third base is probably going to be a mix of Daniel Robertson and Pablo Reyes for the time being. Unless they call somebody up, surprisingly. Does this open the door to bring Keston Hira back up already? I doubt it. I'd like to see Ryan Braun back in the lineup. Old friend Billy McKinney homering yesterday, by the way, with the New York Mets. Yankees in action yesterday. A couple of days ago, Garrett Cole was asked if he's using this spider track, this illegal substance, or the substance that pitchers have for a long time, whether it's sunscreen or whatever, even if just licking their hands, they want to get a better grip on the ball. But now these balls, like the spin rate is unbelievable. And the other day, Garrett Cole was asked if he's ever used any substance before.
I don't quite know how to answer that, to be honest.
All right. And then last night, he pitched last night, and he was asked if he used any of the spider tack. This is last night after he pitched. He was asked if he used it.
Garrett, did you use anything differently or any different products than you normally would have because of what's going on tonight or from previous starts?
You know, I hesitated yesterday on the specificity of the question, because I just don't think this is the forum to discuss, you know, those kinds of things. Like I mentioned in, you know, answer to Lindsay's question that there's appropriate time for players to discuss those things, and I'll keep it to that forum.
I like this guy. He speaks and says nothing. I like him. Garrett Cole with the Yankees. Last night.
Yeah, he had fun yesterday because Josh Donaldson has threatened to come out with a list of all types of pitchers that he claims have used foreign substances to aid their pitching, Garrett Cole being one of them. And he went 0-for-3 last night with 2 Ks against Garrett Cole.
Yeah, Cole did say that felt good to shut him down.
Stared him down a little bit. I like it.
I did too. It's good for baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Juice this up a little bit, not the actual balls, although Pete Alonso with the Mets says that there are different things that happen to the baseball depending on who is going to be free agents that next offseason. This is a conspiracy theory that I can get behind. Here's Pete Alonso.
I hadn't heard until you mentioned it, the idea that they do it based on free agent class. Is that something that players talk about and believe in?
Oh, no, that's a fact. It's not. Guys have talked about it, but I mean, in 2019, there's a huge class of free agent pitchers. And then that's quote unquote, the juice balls. And then, 2020 was a strange year with the COVID season. But now that we're back to playing a regular season with, a ton of shortstops or position players, that are owed going to be paid a lot of money, like high caliber players. I mean, yeah, I mean, it's not a coincidence.
So he's saying it's a fact when there's about to be a bunch of position players hitting free agency, baseball changes the ball to make it tougher for those guys to have impressive stats. And when a bunch of pitchers are going to be free agents, baseball juices the ball so all their numbers look bad. Do you give credence to this?
I don't know, but I mean, Pete Alonso seems sold on it. Is that a thing they talk? It's a fact.
Oh, no, that's a fact.
He is, yes.
Yeah, I like his confidence in it. I don't know if it's true or not, but it would make sense, right? Rob Manfred and his 30 buddies, the owners, just saying, I don't want to spend my money. Make these guys play a little bit worse so I can save a dollar.
Trust nobody besides yourself. Not even me. I act like a nice guy. Don't even trust me. You know who's acting like a big-time nice guy is Mike Budenholzer. This was from the other night. I'm going to play this with the comparison to what Michael Malone of the Nuggets was saying last night. Totally different. Coach Bud's team gets waxed, embarrassed. Bucks fans, not only should the Bucks, I don't even know if the Bucks were embarrassed. All the embarrassment fell on us. And Bud, after the game the other night, was like, whoopsie daisy.
Whether you get beat by a point or by 40, you know, you got to be ready for game three. You know, you got to have a short-term memory. You got to get yourself ready, understand what we need to do to go home and win game three. So I think the locker room, there's a lot of great leadership in there, and the guys will respond appropriately.
All right, that's our guy. Here's the Nuggets head coach, Michael Malone. They got beat in a similar fashion, just blown out by the Suns last night.
I saw one team that wanted to be here and play with a purpose and urgency, and one team that did not want to be here. And play with no urgency, and that's why we got our ass kicked.
That I just acknowledging the situation, I find refreshing. It's different styles of what you're going to do. Are you going to rally your guys? I mean, Jokic was asked about it last night, and he already says, no, we tried.
Nicole, you obviously heard what Malone said. You were out there. You saw what was going on the floor. Did you feel like guys quit tonight?
I mean, I don't think so. The guys quit. You know, when you're losing a lot, you can always kind of put your head down. Maybe we put your hand up, head down. But I'm not sure that we quit. I didn't quit, so I'm not gonna talk about myself.
Yeah, you didn't quit, maybe. But Malone's part of one of the guys that quit. He didn't put Jokic back in the entire fourth quarter, so Malone kind of quit too.
Yeah,
they all quit.
Yeah, but I like it. You like you said, let's get the fans riled up for coming back to Denver, whereas gotta be better. It's not going to really get the fans riled up for the Pfizer tonight.
I do worry about tonight because if the Bucks go down early, and I'm not even talking like 20 points, I'm talking like 4. But, you know, there's always that first time out, and you can kind of get a feel for how the game might go, how the quarter might go. If they're down early... right now, Bucks fans are coming to this game tonight thinking that we're going to lose this series. We're down 2-0. Teams that are up 2-0 win 93% of the time in these seven-game series. So we're already a little defeated. We are more defeated as fans because of just how bad it was. So Bud can say 1 or 40, there's no difference. There is a difference. You lose by a couple points the other night, you're in that game. You're discouraged, but then you look ahead at game three and say, all right, well, they still don't have Harden. We're on our home floor. We know we're better than this. We got to make our shots. We only made 6 threes game one, 8 threes game two. We are right there. We just need a win to get us over the hump. But instead, the disparity between what the Nets are and what the Bucks are, it just is, it's wider than I could have imagined coming into the series. We all were like saying, oh, Nets in 6, Nets in 7. The national media was saying that. That's not a big surprise. Nobody's going to be surprised if that's the outcome of the series. But if the Nets win in 5, hell, they could win in 4. Big shock.
Yeah, I mean, to Budenholzer, to Giannis, to Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, all those guys, you know what? Losing by 1, losing by 39, it is the same thing. They lost. But it's not the same thing to a fan. And that's why we don't want to hear that. Because you saying, if we would have lost just by 1, it'd be the same thing as losing by 39. Yeah, but you got your butts kicked in game 2. And as fans, we're losing all the hope. You might still have hope, but we don't see it. We don't hear it. We need to hear some passion. We need to see it, because getting your butts kicked by 39 doesn't give me any hope for Game 3.
Pretty riled up today.
Yeah, you know.
Did you have a bad round yesterday or something?
Yeah.
Did you?
No, I didn't, but.
Rawr! Toby coming at it. And then in golf, I want to bring this up. Brooks Koepka was talking about his little rivalry with Bryson DeChambeau, who is going to be Roger's partner when they do the golf thing coming up. It's them against, it's Brady and Mickelson, right?
Yep.
Against Rogers and Bryson. And Brooks already got in on like the chirping online. And so the video that you saw was Brooks talking to the Golf Channel and then Bryson walking behind him and then Brooks being like, oh God. And here's Brooks explaining his side of the story, what happened.
He didn't say anything to me. It wasn't, he wasn't speaking to me. He was, I guess, either had signed his scorecard or wherever he was. And I was just to the right of the media tent where you go in, or I guess right in front of the microphones where you guys were all were. And I don't want to say he was like screaming. He was saying something about how he hit a perfect shot and it shouldn't have been there. And he was just, it was just very, very loud. I don't think the mics picked up on that, but it felt like it was just so the fans could hear, or it was just with the media right there. You kind of know, hey, look, we're all kind of in this area, just tone it down. And it was just so loud. And then I think he realized that he had gotten right behind me and he toned it down a little bit, but it was still, and I just lost train of thought, which I think was pretty obvious.
Do you know, where did this start? Like, we all know about it now, but how far back does this go?
I'm not sure. I mean, that clip obviously went viral, but I don't think they've really ever really liked each other, but that just kind of escalated it, I think. I'm not sure that there is anything that you can look at specifically, but I don't think they've ever really liked each other.
Koepka says, though, that this is good for golf, which I agree with.
Well, Brooks, I'm just wondering, what is going on between you and Bryson?
I don't know.
How would you characterize
it? How would I characterize it? I mean, I don't know where you want to start. where do you want to start? That's, I guess, more my question.
Is this a fun thing for you, or is there a little more to it, or... You know, some people see this is unusual for golf, and we're saying, what's going on with these guys?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's good for the game. I really do. I mean, the fact that golf's on pretty much every news outlet for, I don't know, about 2 weeks, pretty consistently, I think that's a good thing. It's growing the game.
So, again, he doesn't really go into the details about the rivalry or not liking each other, but it is good for the game. It's not going to be good for Steve Stricker. Steve Stricker, everybody's boy because he's from here. He's never won a major, but people like him. He's the Ryder Cup captain. He's got to figure out what to do with these guys. They're both probably going to be on the team.
Yeah, and Patrick Reed will probably be there, and no one likes Patrick Reed. So
yeah, nobody likes Patrick Reed.
I think some of that Brooks and Bryson beef, just Brooks doesn't like slow play. Bryson's notorious for being a really slow player. Brooks doesn't like any just random shenanigans, and Bryson is full of those, like asking for relief because of an anthill nearby. So I think Brooks just gets tired of the whole Bryson DeChambeau shenanigans.
Yeah, now everybody wants to see them paired up together, and I agree. I mean, that would be great with the U.S. Open coming up next week. Bart and Toby will talk more. Aaron Rodgers, really interesting quote that the Big Show got out of Ian Rappaport yesterday when he was on the program. Why hasn't Aaron Rodgers been traded? Does Aaron Rodgers want to be traded? We'll have more on that coming up next here on The Fan. 12:50 a.m. The Fan. Good morning, everybody. Bart, Toby. We're going to check in with Jeff Orlowski. We're going to check in with Rami. Check in with Peter Bukowski. All these guys before we dip out for the Big Show. Watch the Brewers today. And it's game day for the Bucks. It's game 3. I'm with Rami. I don't know. The Bucks lost. It seems like we're resigned to the fact that the season ended on Monday night. and we're going to play out the string here. Am I wrong on that? I want to talk Bucks with you guys. 414-799-1250. I don't have anything to say. I mean,
yeah, I need to see game three before there's another opinion on this.
I don't, like it's game three, it's game day, and we want to preview the game. So what do the Bucks need to do? You know, how do they counter? What do they need to oh God.
Gotta be better.
They do. They need to play better. They need to be, it's just so discouraging what's happened the last couple of seasons. It doesn't make sense. You have a great regular season a couple of years ago. You flame out against the Raptors, which, man, that somebody the other day tweeted they think that that's the Bucks version of the 2014 NFC Championship, which we reference every show every day, and I agree. It's hard to come back from something like that. We all thought we were going to the finals. Kind of like where the Nets are now. So where the Nets are now is they are a big favorite to win the whole thing. And how can they not be? The way that they've beaten up on the Bucks last couple of games, this they're doing it. The fact that they're doing it all without Jeff Green, James Harden, who's going to be out tonight again too. The fact that they're doing it all without Harden is scary, because the Nets role players, every criticism you could have had about the Nets, one ball, their depth, the coaching, it's all been good. It's all been very, very, very good. So if the Bucks, you know, they got to try to win tonight. If they're going to move on, they got to win four to the next five. There's a reason that when teams go up 2-0, they win the series 93% of the time. They got to somehow win four of the next five. So I think you shrink it down if you are the Bucks. You got to win tonight. So just focus on tonight. That's all you can do. And then you do have to win game four. You're going to have to win both of these at home. And then you make it a best of three series again. Two will be on the road. One will be at home. But you make it a best of three series. That's the best that you can do. Somehow you have to forget about game two. You have to forget about game one. But you can't forget about what got you here. When you are out there with that confidence, you know, you guys reek and ooze confidence in the regular season. You beat these teams up by 20-some points. You're having fun. Giannis is taking pictures with cameras. Well, where does that go? It's not even that they're playing worse basketball. Like, they're just not playing like they do. It's so weird, but they also aren't. They aren't acting like they do. It's like the confidence is all gone. And I hate to say the Monstars thing again, but seriously, it's like their magic powers got sucked out of them by little alien creatures. And I don't know where those alien creatures are. LeBron, by the way, changed his jersey again. He's number six now.
It's not going to do anything, but...
Well, it's going to make more people buy his jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a LeBron fan, how many jerseys you have if you try to collect them all? Pokemon, you got 50 jerseys.
Is he wearing six in the new Space Jam, and that's why he did it?
Well, he is wearing six in the new Space Jam, so I would think, yeah, there's some marketing there.
He really is just a Hollywood actor, basketball player, whatever now.
Yeah.
Lives up to the LA status.
Well, what I remember about the first Space Jam with Michael Jordan is Michael Jordan and the Looney Tunes... They were down, and in great movie form, Jordan and Bugs Bunny and the whole team rallied everybody, and they won that game. I did see a screening of Space Jam 2, and that's kind of why I've been talking about it a little bit. I kind of like I'm promoting it, but I saw the screening, and I'll spoil it for you. Just like in the first movie, the Looney Tunes, they're going to be down a few points. But in this movie, why Space Jam 2 is different is that when the Looney Tunes are down 5 minutes left to go, LeBron James in the movie is going to walk off the court and the Looney Tunes will lose. So that's the difference. And then he's going to ask for half of the team to get traded. and then he's going to sip wine at the end of the bench. So they're trying to make this as real life as possible. Mike the Painter, This guy is as positive as any caller we have. What's up?
You're not getting that positivity from me today. There,
still no, Mike?
No, I don't see anybody beating the Nets. They're just too good right now, and we don't have an answer for them. We really don't. I think we will come out, you know, on fire and with some passion because we have to. But in the end, I think it's just inevitable that they're going to come and pull out the win. They're that good.
Inevitable. That is a good word for this. It just feels like this is inevitable.
It really is. It's their time. Our shot was last year, and the pandemic, like you like to call it, happened.
Oh, I call it the plandemic.
But it was, you know, like you were saying with the camaraderie thing. Back in last year, you know, they were doing the wrestling moves before the games, and then they couldn't do that anymore because of the stupid bubble and not being able to touch each other. You know, we don't have that right now. We don't see it from them.
Don't you think the Bucks would be better off in the series if they could touch each other? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh,
you're getting a little off base here.
You said touch each other.
Well, then no. I said playing wrestling moves and, you know, being able to have fun. They're just not having fun right now. And it's because the Nets are that good. And it's hard to have fun when you know that those guys are going to knock down every shot when they go up and put it up. You know, it's hard. And it's going to be like that for every team that goes up against them, all the way to the Nets winning the finals. It's just the way it's going to be. And we need a couple good players, you know, off the bench. We need a really solid couple more players, you know. And, yeah, I think the move would be to trade Middleton and get somebody else that's more consistent.
We should trade him for Bogdanović.
Yeah, that would be nice.
We should trade Dante and DJ for Bogdanović.
Well, I like Dante. I don't want him going anywhere. I like Dante. DiVincenzo.
Oh, we tried, and they didn't let us.
Yeah, he's still young yet. No, we can't do that.
Well, he'd be a help in the series. I mean, anything would. Thanks, Mike.
You have a good
day. Hey, you still painting that mansion in Hales Corners?
No, we actually finished.
You finished?
Yes.
Hey,
to a bathroom.
You're a painter, yeah?
Yes, I am a painter.
Are you supposed to get tipped?
No, well, it's up to the customer, so you don't, it's not, you know.
Do you get tipped a lot?
Yeah, I have gotten tipped, yes. But when it's my job, I don't expect to get tipped.
Yeah, it's one of those gray areas.
If they want to toss extra cash, it's always, right? It's, you know, never will turn it down, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah. When I worked at a grocery store in high school, we did parcel pickup. So it's basically like what they do now with pickup, but we were told that you can't keep tips. And so the first time I did it, I like refused for like 2 minutes. And then after that, I was like, this is stupid. I'm just taking the money. What am I doing?
Yeah, it's like insulting the customer, and you don't want to insult the customer.
Yeah.
Because you want
they made the decision to give you money. You take the money.
They want to take and tell you the next person that you're a good guy to deal with.
Yeah. All right. Good to know. Right. So don't tip painters unless it's Mike the Painter.
You could tip all the painters you want.
Oh, yeah, okay.
They're doing a good job for you.
Is there like, do you like meet with other painters? Is there like a painter union?
No. Well, there is a painters union, but I'm not involved in the painters union.
Unions, am I right?
Yeah, I'm not a big union guy.
I like them. All right, Mike.
They're the downfall of the country. There,
I disagree, but we're going to be done.
we'll agree to disagree.
Bye, Mike.
Have a good one.
I agree with you that the Bucks are toast, sadly. Steve's in Brookfield. What's up, Steve?
There's no way the Bucks are toast. Mark, let me tell you something.
Oh, they're so toast. I've got my avocado ready to spread it all over.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, let's see if you're spreading after this game. I'm telling you.
I spread after every game.
We can win this game. We're not done. You say it's 93% teams win. Well, that's better than 0%.
No, they'll win tonight. Okay, they'll win tonight. Big deal.
I'll tell you. Well, so you know what? But what happens if they win their home games?
Well, then I'm going to be interested again.
Brooklyn did what they were supposed to do. They won their home games. Milwaukee comes back, wins their home game. I think it's a coin flip. I really do. It might be less of a coin flip if maybe Harden was in there, but it's a coin flip because they just, you know, they caught fire. They were at home. La-di-da. You know what? They did what they were supposed to do. I can't understand. Don't give up on Milwaukee yet. I mean, hey, we're good for a reason. You know, we're in this thing. There's no reason why we can't come out. Yeah, and I know I expect people say, well, we're just going to get blown out. Who says that? Not me. Go out there and cheer Milwaukee on. They win this game. I'm telling you, I'll talk about the guys we're going to trade later on, like maybe Middleton, the coaches going, everything like that. Yeah, well, they're not gone yet. They still can win this game, hit their shots. Like I said before, get 10 three-pointers. Get 10 three-pointers. And, Giannis, please don't shoot too much of those three-pointers anymore. I mean, it's kind of a killer for us, but only do that if we're way up. You know, and I think we're going to get up. We got to put the pressure on Brooklyn, and the only way to put the pressure on Brooklyn is get the lead. I mean, Middleton, what are you, 13 for 43, 46? Come on, that's ridiculous. You're not going to – he just can't keep doing that or he's going to be gone. So he's playing for his Milwaukee Buck life right now. If you want to be a Buck, prove it tonight and win us a game. And don't just win one. Let's go protect our home court like they did to us. Then we'll see what happens.
You know what I'll tell you, Steve? I do feel more optimistic about the Bucks than I did before you called in.
Well, I hope so because you know what?
Yeah, you did a good job. Hey, all right. I'm being too Debbie Downer today. You're right.
Well, yeah, you know, we're good too. I mean, I'm telling you. It's with Harden out, I think that really changed the game. Yeah, they won their games. I don't care, you know. We're going to win our games, too. Giannis is going to come out there, and he's going to play his game. I know they got a plan. I just know they do. You know, and it's, it, you know what the plan is? Hit your shots. If you hit
Well, that didn't work in game two, though.
Well, you know what? And I understand that. That's basketball. It's like a baseball going 1 for 10. Then he goes 5 for 5, you know? I mean, you're going to hit your shots. But they got to come out there and win this game, get the momentum shifting. Because right now, Russell thinks they can't do anything wrong. Well, guess what? You're coming to Milwaukee now. Let's see what you do in Milwaukee. You'll convince me you're a great team if you come to Milwaukee and you beat us on our home court. And that's what I think about this game. I think it's protect your home court. Because if we go up 2-2, we're going to take this series. Because we're going to get one of those games in the Nets. And I've been saying in six, I don't care if we have to do four games. We can do four games on them just like they could do four games on us. It's just they got the lead.
They got the lead. All right, Steve, thank you. That's good stuff. That's a Bucks fan. That's good stuff. Have you ever seen Coach Bud smile outside of those gifts where he's, like, upset at a call? Has he ever, like, smiled because he's happy?
I don't know.
I'm not sure I've ever seen him smile. I don't think I have. 799-1250, a guy who never smiles. Jeff Orlowski, the Polish pipe bomb, coming up.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
12:50 a.m., Bart, Toby, you. Romney is going to join us at 9. Peter Bukowski locked on Packers 9:30. The Polish pipe bomb, Jeff Orlowski, will be here tomorrow, although will you, dude? You're a little under the weather, I'm told by myself after just talking to you before the break.
Well, I don't know if it's that I'm sick or if it's the overwhelming pride in my heart that is just spilling out, Bart.
Oh, wow. What, for Jordan Love or what?
No, not for Jordan Love, and I apologize, Jordan. I'm glad you can put some sentences together and string together a couple cliches in the press conference, but this pride, Bart, is so much deeper. You know, 2 days ago, that would be Tuesday if I'm not mistaken, I went to my oldest son's fifth grade graduation. What a phenomenal achievement that is. Not many kids reach that milestone. And now I am in the parking lot awaiting my daughter's eighth grade graduation, Bart, the first pipe bomb in history to ever graduate the eighth grade.
Wait, you already did one of these, now you gotta do another one? Are you like missing it to talk to me or what?
No, it doesn't start until 9 o'clock, so by the time Rami comes on and tells a bunch of flat jokes, I'll be right smack dab in the middle of graduation, baby.
Oh my god, so how long did the fifth grade one go? Give me like a sense of the program.
Oh, it was phenomenal from start to finish. The fifth grade one started out with the principal of the school and, she, you know, gave a little speech and you know, gave the rundown of what was going to happen. And it was great because, she had a microphone and it was in the gym. She had a microphone, but instead of speaking like a normal human, she insisted on screaming every word that she said.
Ah.
So that was phenomenal. The president of the Menominee Falls school board was there. Another just random board member was there. They all gave speeches. It was great.
So did the kids like get cookies or something?
No. I'm sure they had treats in class before, so they were all, whacked out on sugar, tweaking, waiting for their names to get called and fist bump, these people that they have no idea who they are. But, like I said, just a huge proud moment for me. And that one lasted about an hour, but it was inside and it was air conditioned. This one, I'm hoping, is going to last less, but man, there is a heck of a crowd out here, I'll tell you.
It's outside?
Yes, this one is outside. Yes, it is.
Oh, no.
Hundreds of people are here today. And the funny thing is I think I actually bring down the average age when I'm sitting there because there's a lot of old fogies out here.
Wow. Oh, yeah. Well, Grandpa and Grandpa, they got nothing else to do.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Man, I remember when I went to school, our school district was different. They changed eventually, but we were at elementary school through sixth grade.
Yep, same here.
And then junior high was 7, 8, 9, and then they eventually changed it. But we had a sixth grade graduation, and I remember that. I really enjoyed it as the kid. It was at night. We got to dress up. I wore, like, my dad's sport coat. I shrunk in it. I drowned in it. But I remember it as a fun night for the kids.
Well, my school was different. We had K-6. And then we went to junior high, which was 7 and 8, and then we went to the high school. But I remember my eighth grade graduation. I was probably too blissed for my sixth grade. But I remember eighth grade, and then, you know, I remember half of my high school graduation, too. So, but, you know, just, yeah, just huge milestones, you know, in a young person's life.
I think that's one thing as a parent I'm not quite ready for with a two-year-old is that I'm going to have to do a lot of these things where I just kind of, like, sit there and don't want to be there.
Oh, all the time. That's all it is. It's either that or it's driving them back and forth to different activities that you don't want to do either. I sat there, and the first couple weeks my kid was in swim lessons. It's two nights a week. I have to drive him out there, and then I was sitting in the stands watching him swim for an hour. Finally, I was like, forget that. I'll just sit by myself in the car and smoke my brains out while he's getting exercise and learning how to swim. And that's been the most preferable option that I had.
Why can't more people just use the Jeff Orlowski playbook is a question I have.
It would be nice, because if they did, there'd be about seven people here for graduation. So, you know, I'm sure the kids are happy that there's, you know, 400 or 500 people out here. But yeah.
Let me tell you about the dad moment I had the other day. So I've talked about this. There's a park by my house, and my kid loves to swing.
Mm-hmm.
So, but he's still in like the baby swing, I guess.
Okay.
And not like the other swing. So, but there's two of them. So we'll swing there, and normally somebody else will show up and put their little kid in, and of course the parents do the how old, you know, that thing.
Yeah.
So what happened yesterday or a couple days ago is I was swinging on the left swing, and then another couple of parents had their kid and they went on the right swing. So in this whole park at this point, nobody's there except for me, my kid, and the mom and dad here and their kid. The whole park, it's just the two of us, the two little families. Then some guy on the other end of the park starts with his little kid, same age, and he starts waving. And he's got like the biggest smile on his face. And I'm like, do I know this guy? What's happening here? He comes over, starts talking with the other couple. He knew them. And he's got like a personality that I just detest. He is like, super bouncy and super like, oh man. Oh, you know, we went to the parents, man. And it was like, there's like 40 people, but he had fun, man. And it was like, fun, man, 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 man. He's just like, the smile got bigger as he kept talking. And then what happened that was so embarrassing was so I'm like watching this conversation happen. He goes, oh, by the way, he looks at me and says, my name is whatever it was. My name is Steve. Oh, what's your name? I go, I'm Bart. I had not introduced myself to the other parents yet, so now this guy thought that I was friends with this couple, and all of a sudden I'm like a part of this unit. So I just then I looked at my kid. I go, "What's that, bud? You're done swinging? Oh, okay." And we like I like ran out of the park. So that's my story.
Yeah, and now you're probably blacklisted because I'm sure the nice family that was there own half of that park and. And the guy, the man guy, you know, he got you blacklisted. So I don't know if little Bart is going to be allowed back in there.
God, you know, I don't get why I'm so stupid. I go to this park and I'm like, all right, I go to this park with my kid all the time, thinking that everybody else that goes there only is going to go once and I'll never see him again. But sometimes I'll have an awkward encounter with another parent and kid, and then I see him there the next day or later that day. They're going to the same park too. I'm so stupid. I didn't realize this.
Oh, that's happened to me 100 times, bringing my kids to one of the parks here in the Falls all the time. There was this one guy, and he'd bring his kids over, too. And me and him would talk all the time. And one day my wife was there with me, and she's like, hey, you know that guy? I'm like, yeah, I see him here all the time. She goes, oh, that's great. What's his name? I have no idea. And I got his name probably 3 or 4 times. But, yeah, I had no idea what the hell it was.
Yeah, that's how we were with the first neighbors that we moved in next to. They gave them their names, and then we forgot. And so then we had to, like, creep on Facebook and try to find out, just like using. I went and looked at their mail one day when they were gone.
That'll never go away. I know one of my neighbors' names, and I've met about eight of them. So I remember one.
Do people do block parties anymore? Block parties need to come back.
They do need to come back. No, I haven't seen those in a long while.
We did a block party growing up in Fond du Lac where we had like a pig that we would roast. There were games. All the kids were like the same age. It was awesome. The parents loved it, obviously.
Yeah, they're all drinking. Absolutely. That's nice, man. That's how it should be, and it should definitely come back. I agree.
I think you and I just need to sit in a parking lot and get stoned. I mean, drunk. I mean, talk.
Yes, all of the above. We do. And how ironic. I'll be there at 5:45 a.m. tomorrow. Let's start tailgating.
Yeah, you don't care about the Bucks, do you?
No, but you know, I don't think it's over. You know, the cliche for the NBA is that the series doesn't start until the home team loses.
Oh.
And that hasn't happened yet. So do I think that the Bucks can win 4 out of 5? Yes. Do I think they will? Hell no. But they can. Absolutely they can.
And it seemed like earlier you're not that impressed with Jordan Love?
You know, he had one good day of practice. Let's crown his ass now. You know, come on. I need to see more. He's in a no-win situation. I do feel bad for the kid. But, you know, we all know Aaron Rodgers is suiting up for the green and gold. And, you know, that's all there is to it. And Jordan Love is going to be an afterthought like he should be.
Yeah, Rodgers is coming back. I just don't know what the other options are. I just don't want him to take too long to come back. Like, because at training camp, if he's not there right away, well, then they're going to have to start planning for a Jordan Love offense. And then if Rodgers strolls in 3 weeks later, well, it's like, well, what the hell? We just wasted 3 weeks. So I need this to get solved ASAP.
See, I'm on the other side. I don't care when it gets solved. As long as he suits up before game 10, I'm good to go. Because, you know, Green Bay has always been and will continue to be a great regular season team. They just can't get it done when the lights are the brightest in the playoffs. And I have no concerns about them making the playoffs. You know, they can stay in contention until Rodgers comes back. So if he chooses week 8, week 9, week 10, I'm all good with that.
Well, watch the game tonight. You'll break down the 2-3 zone tomorrow with me, and we'll go from there.
I will. I got it on my DVR. It's set. I'm going to watch tonight. So first Bucks game of the year, baby.
And enjoy the graduation. That's a huge accomplishment.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I'm surprised I made it through this, through the wall of tears that's already welling up in my face.
Thanks, Jeff. See you tomorrow.
All right. See ya.
The Polish pipe bomb. Oh, you got a little pipe bomb graduating today. I think Jeff's just putting up a hard exterior. I do think that he's there's going to be some tears cried in that Orlowski house tonight. That's what I'm thinking. Rami Makhlouf going to join us. I join him every Tuesday. He returns the favor. And so I'm going to do that next with Rami. Anything I can tease, Toby? Can you start writing teases for me? I'm bad at teases.
Romney up next.
That's a really bad one.
Oh, it's Rami, not Romney?
Yeah. I need to say like... Oh, the Bucks, we're all counting them out. I'll give you one reason why we shouldn't be. That's kind of bad, too. How about nothing I can say can really affect you? You're going to either get out of your car and go to work or listen to me and Romney.
I like it.
So stick around.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.